Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have ye not brought him?" The officers said, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus said unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
We celebrate today the great feast day of Pentecost. It is 50 days after the Pascha. The Christian feast mirrors the ancient Jewish feast upon which it is based. And on that ancient Jewish feast day, when people from all over the world were gathered together in Jerusalem for the feast, after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into the heavens, the Holy Spirit was shared out among his disciples, on his apostles. Just as an aside, I didn't intend to say this until I was listening to the scripture readings, and I was thinking about that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and it lists off all of the people who were there in Jerusalem for the feast day, right? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those from Egypt and Libya and from Crete and Arabia and dwellers of Mesopotamia and all of them. And I was looking at this particular group of people. And I was reminded once again about how we have almost nothing to do with each other except for the Orthodox Christian faith. People from, I mean, my goodness, not just from Tulsa, from Broken Arrow, from Muskogee, from Wagoner. And then you can go further afield. You have people from Texas, people from California, people from Russia. It's a strange group of people. And the only reason that they're all in one place at one time is because of Christ. And this is precisely the event that we see happening in the Acts of the Apostles. People from all over the world had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And in that context, God chose to work this tremendous miracle in that the Holy Spirit descended in a visible way on the apostles of Jesus Christ, and they began to preach, and everyone who was there from every part of the world heard the words that they were speaking in their own language. So in other words, the miracle, the grace, that which was given by the Holy Spirit didn't just happen to the disciples of Jesus Christ. It happened to those who were there. Everyone who came for the feast received some portion of grace because they could hear. They could hear in their own language the wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit descends upon the followers of Jesus Christ. It was the promise that he gave them repeatedly. And in fact, he even bestowed the Holy Spirit upon them in progression, in gradual progression. The coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was the final and most complete, the fullest descent of the Holy Spirit. But prior to that, Christ had already breathed on his disciples after his resurrection from the dead and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He had already bestowed it upon them to some measure. And we know that to some measure it was already active in times past, in the prophets of the Old Testament, in prophet Moses, the prophet Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and all the rest of them. They already shared in some portion, in some measure of grace of the Holy Spirit. But something different happens on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is manifested in the disciples of Jesus Christ. He descends, first of all, in a seemingly visible form, but the evangelists are very careful, right? St. Luke in his Acts of the Apostles says it was like tongues of fire. It wasn't actually tongues of fire. We can't really liken the Holy Spirit to anything that's created, because he himself is uncreated. But he gives an analogy or a simile. It's like tongues of fire. It appeared in a form similar to that, but it wasn't actually fire. And these gifts of grace then began to show forth in the lives of the apostles. They spoke with languages that they did not understand. People who spoke languages that they didn't speak heard them in their own tongue. And God was glorified in the midst of it. This is not a one-time event. Sometimes people will refer to Pentecost as the birthday of the church, right? I've heard it said that way. You can say that. I think the church goes back further than that, because if we say the birthday of the church is Pentecost, then we have to say, well, Moses and all the rest of them don't belong. But that's simply not true. The church is created by God from the beginning. But we can speak about it that way today. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. What does that mean? It means those who are united in the church are also partakers of the Holy Spirit of God. We just celebrated yesterday a glorious baptism, and also a week ago another baptism. Matthew Calabi and David Culp were baptized recently. And part of that service is the chrismation, the anointing with oil, which is the bestowal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those of us who have undergone these same things have also received of the Holy Spirit. So, sometimes we might wonder where he is. Because honestly, if we look into our hearts, if we kind of look at our lives, we say, I don't really detect the Holy Spirit all the time. Sometimes I do, maybe, glory be to God. But a lot of times I don't. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason is not exclusive to the age in which we live, but amplified in the age in which we live. And that is, we live a life almost entirely dedicated to distraction. Don't get me wrong, distraction occurred in times past as well. But we, in this age and in this time and this place, have put distraction on steroids, and we have chased after it. What happens whenever you do that? Well, it means that, first of all, your vision, your inner vision, is always turned outward. You're always looking outside of yourself. You're always looking at something else. Either something that has to be done, or something that you want to know about, or if nothing else, you just find yourself sitting numbly surfing the internet for hours on end and not remembering anything of what you've seen or read. Which may be better anyway. But we dedicate ourselves entirely to distraction. And I have said this to several of you before, and I'm going to say it to all of you now. If you want to see the Holy Spirit, if you want to detect His presence, it's going to require a little bit of effort on your part. Nowadays, you can't go anywhere without distraction, right? You can't go out to eat with your family without some TV on in the restaurant. And most of us, we just get in the car and we turn the radio on as sort of a default, like this is just what you do in the car. And if you're home, you know, the TV's on or the internet's on or the radio's on, something's on. It's all distraction. So we have to make some effort, which is an effort that people in times past did not have to make. And the effort we have to make is to carve out silence in our lives. Metropolitan Anthony Bloom, of blessed memory, in his lovely little book, Beginning to Pray, he counsels those who begin to pray to do it this way. Shut yourself in your room, turn everything off. Resolve in your heart that if the phone rings, you're not going to answer it. If the door is knocked on, you're not going to answer it. You're going to close yourself in your room. And he doesn't say to say anything. He doesn't say, here's some words that you should say. He just says, close yourself in your room and just be there by yourself. And he says, within 10 minutes, you're going to go crazy. But if you can make it past that 10 minutes of being driven insane by yourself, then you'll realize that in silence, someone else is there. Silence is not empty. Silence is full. And if we are diligent in pursuing a little bit of silence, and we have the grace of God, it might even become for us stillness. We who are Christians should take it as our primary aim in this life to live in communion with the Holy Spirit of God, knowing, acknowledging that we have been given this tremendous grace. We should take it upon ourselves as one of the tasks we have to do. In fact, the most important task for us to do on any given day is to carve out a little bit of silence and spend that time without distraction. I understand that we can't do that all the time. We have jobs, we have to make an income, we have to support families, all those things. But we should do it some of the time. Those things do not take as much time as they seem to. Each and every one of us has plenty of time in the course of a day to spend in prayer. Plenty of time to spend in prayer. Carve out some silence, to listen in our hearts to God, to offer up to Him an honest word out of our hearts, not just sort of the babbling that runs in our minds nonstop all the time, but actually to communicate, to commune with the Holy Spirit of God. And the great miracle is, this is not something that is reserved for just some special people. It is given to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has the capabilities of speaking one-on-one with God or the Holy Spirit and of receiving communication from Him, being enlightened, illumined by Him. and having our lives set in order, set aright, and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. So on this day, we celebrate not just a historical event, something that happened a long time ago, but we celebrate a continuing event, something which continues even till now. The Holy Spirit is still active. The Holy Spirit still guides. The Holy Spirit still enlightens. And you and I are the beneficiaries, the recipients of all the generations of Christians in time past, from the apostles until this present day, through whom the Holy Spirit has acted, so that we also may be partakers of His grace. To God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in every soul.